Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ash Millman.
Whoa, this
I'm
is
I'm switching
a new
things
way.
Up on the
right
glorious day.
Left.
Hello, everyone.
And joined by Ewan Patterson.
Hello.
Usually we go left and right, but why not do something different for the people that are watching on the video?
Shake it to the left if you're having a good time.
Exactly. And so, yes, we kind of thought we would break down some of the biggest projects that we're looking forward to for the rest of 2019 in this weird post-Christmas limbo where nothing is happening.
In the Monday of all months.
Yeah, and it is. It's that weird sort of
Sorry
period.
For all January babies, but...
It's just the industry will resume when Resident Evil 2 is out, and that's not until the 25th. Yeah. So, in the spirit of all those things, we've each got three games that we're looking forward to, and we've still got some little tidbits as to what proves them, or it'll just be things that we really want to see return.
Yes.
And we're
going
to talk about franchises that should come back in 2019. So I will open with Bully 2. Because
Ooh.
Bully is going to be Rockstar's next game.
I don't care about Bully.
Oh, you do?
No, I'm happy that it's coming for people who love bullying.
Huge fan.
And, you know, doing it in a game where they are a bald-headed bully.
Yes.
But that's not a thing that I enjoy. I get that it's a cult classic and like more people.
You did play it.
Yeah, I did.
Right, good.
But I just there are other things I think Rockstar do better, and there is something very weird to me about grown men writing dialogue about a bully in high. It's weird. I don't like it.
Well,
did
you play it?
I played bits of it. I never played it all the way through.
Okay, Bully's like one of my favorite Rockstar games, and I think the whole thing that blew up at the time with like, oh, you're playing a bully and you're just gonna like, you know, kick people in. That wasn't at all what it was.
No, exactly.
And so, like, yeah, that was the whole, the inversion of that was why that game worked so well, and actually fitting in with the different cliques in high school. Very comic booky, very like Saturday morning cartoon, very Recess approach to the depiction of high school.
That's a good point.
Which I loved. And so I thought that was really good, but I am interested to see how they would even do it again because, like, you're going to have a game about high school combat and all that kind of stuff with 4K visuals and realistic interpretations of different people. And I don't know how much I trust Rockstar scribes, like you said, to do youthful dialogue. It could be what's happening.
I'm seeing this
children.
Being like some sort of awkward South Park-esque, like, look at all these millennials.
I just want some.
I'd probably be fine with that. But it depends how much they lean into it. But yeah, either way, the reason that I mentioned this was because a whole bunch of Bully 2 concept art leaked from someone who claimed to be a Rockstar insider. And we're not going to get too much into the info of each of these games. But it showed like a way more cartoonish approach, a way more like stylistic kind of thing with elongated, more over-the-top faces. Looked a bit like the artwork for Dishonored, that you've kind of got those more caricatured kind of faces and stuff. And I kind of thought that's the only way they could do it, because then they get away from all the, oh my God, they're trying to tell children to go kill people style reactionary news headlines.
But there was the few Bully Easter eggs in Red Dead Redemption 2 as well. So we had the Canis Canum edit revolver that you get for doing all the Legends of the Old West stuff. And then you had an achievement for, it was like Endless Summer or something, for completing like 100% in the game, which is a callback to a thing from Bully. So yeah, it looks
I think
like
they've been seeding this.
I think this is definitely coming. It's either next year or in the typical Rockstar fashion.
I guess actually, in terms of it being like a 2019 release.
We're looking at like a games as a service thing with Rockstar now these days, so you've probably got to contemplate this next Bully factoring into, you know, how do we get Bully Online out of it or something like that.
I guess in terms of the way that we're sort of categorizing stuff together, it could just be an announcement. It could be something anything relating to. I just want Bully, all right? That's all I want. I want more Bully.
Just want to punch things.
I just want to punch things as a small child. I haven't done it for a while. So, Ewan, what's your game? What do you want?
I'm just going to be typical Ewan back on his BS. I want a new Arkham game this year.
Oh, for the love of God.
Have you not had enough of Arkham?
No.
And can we do one video where you don't mention Arkham?
No, no, you may not. No, I'm here.
Go on.
All day. Yep. Obviously, people know that I wasn't a big fan of Arkham Knight, and I think that's kind of a consensus is slowly building in regards to how Rocksteady finished that franchise, and potentially they didn't finish it the best way they could have. And also at the same time, we've kind of seen a reappraisal of what Warner Bros. Montreal did with Arkham Origins. And if you've been keeping up with the detail of the drama surrounding Warner Brothers games, you'll know that a bunch of projects got cancelled like a few years ago. So there was like a Suicide Squad game they were going to do that got canned. There was a Batman Beyond.
I wonder why that was canned.
Yeah, and there was a Batman Beyond-esque style Damian Wayne game that was canned. But the most recent rumor is that they're going to be doing something involving the Court of Owls, which is going to be a sequel to Arkham Origins. Mm-hmm. And then there is also talk of them potentially doing a Wonder Woman game as well. And then factoring that in with the fact that Rocksteady is still doing something of their own at the same time, it kind of seems as though we're waiting for one studio to kind of pull the trigger first.
It makes me curious how much they've had to lay off because of the fact that the DCEU didn't land especially well, and maybe the marketing just wasn't lining up properly, kind of thing. But on your recent rumours one, I think you talked about the Wonder Woman game.
I did. It was based off of Ewan's article. Oh. He sent me the little link, like, "Oh, you should add this in." And I did.
I don't recall having that conversation. Yeah. You totally did that off your own.
Just leaking
everyone
rumors.
Just seeks out Ewan Patterson's what comes
anything comic based.
He's got the knowledge and the knowledge.
He does.
The Wonder Woman game looked really interesting. It sounds really good, and all the concept for it and stuff, and the whole having the Amazonians and then the people on Earth. I mean, I was a swap between them. I think it sounds fantastic. Like, I really want that game. Not so bothered about Arkham, but the what is it? The Light,
Circle of Light. I think it's tentative title is, but it's a case of I think a lot of people are fatigued by Batman currently, and they'd have to. My personal preference would be if they were to return to the IP, they'd do a Batman Beyond style game. You know, with all the neo noir esque stuff. Just get the intro back. You know, the really cool one when they're all danced in the club. And then get that back in. But yeah, if they were just to return to Batman, I'm convinced they would do a good job with it. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think it's high time, especially with all the Marvel games coming out, the Warner Brothers and DC, for that matter, really branch out and try and tap into the potential of that franchise. Otherwise, they're going to get beaten to the punch by Marvel, who have Avengers coming out in...
It is also weird.
And the wazoo.
And the just leaking. But it is also weird that it's the fourth year now, and we've not heard anything. Other than the leaked stuff.
So
2015 was off.
6 years since... how long ago? 2015. That was
2015
4 years.
Was Arkham Knight.
So it's been 6 years since Arkham Origins came out. So that's mad.
I don't know. What makes you think you say you don't want any Arkham things? I'm sick of them.
Personally, no interest in them is the thing. I played Asylum, and then the rest. So I was just like, I keep smacking this.
Take that microphone.
Yeah, literally. Just karate chop it, batarang.
So what, did you not finish Arkham Asylum?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't involved in it, which I know is blasphemy.
A little bit.
I know it's a little bit, mate. But it just did not tick my box.
Ash Millman, who'll finish Aliens Colonial Marines, but will not finish Batman Arkham Asylum.
It's a good taste.
The state. It's definitely what it is. Ash, what is your game for 2019, or one of the three?
One of the three that I want.
Yes.
I've no idea if there's any information that can back it up at all. I want Sly Raccoon to come back.
Will Sly Raccoon enough.
I want it, though, because it's like they've got, there's a film, there's an entitled film that's in the works, that's in development, but hasn't come out yet. There is a series that's supposed to come out this year, and a series to go very nicely with a little interactive game.
Yeah, I mean, I think the last one was the Vita one, which I do have. I think the last installment in the franchise was the Vita.
It was the Time Nerds one.
Time Nerds. If they call it Sarah Raccoon, Time Nerds. Time Nerds.
I mean, the turtle was a Time Nerd.
Yeah,
I've not played
Sly in so long.
Bentley. I remember that. I remember because I didn't have a PlayStation 2 when I was little. I used to go over to my mates and play Sly, and I was and I was always fascinated by all of them. And that's interesting that they got a new wave of stuff, because that to me implies that Sony are keen on spiking a resurgence of the brand. So you could have just solved the mystery. Sly Raccoon confirmed 2019.
It needs to come.
So many people though, all you need to do is mention it, and so many people know either the visuals, the turtle guy before you know his name, and everyone knows Sly Raccoon. And it's just like, there's clearly more to do with that franchise. And a movie sounds great. Yeah. Like, all the different, the characterization, the way the dialogue and the script always was in those games plays perfectly into cartoons and all that kind of stuff.
I am so here for Carmelita Fox. Like, I just love it so much. Like, the shooting police officer. No, I think it's fantastic. I think the whole game, the way it's put together, works really well for a series.
What if they do, like, a new Sly, as I think through
right,
this?
Donkey Kong, what's
if they
going
do
on?
A new, he's in the new Mario Kingdom thingy. Anyway, what if they do a new Sly, but they do it like the new Spyro and Crash, where it's just all fully redone, nice, gorgeous visuals, but it plays like the old school ones?
I actually don't think they need a remaster at all. No. I played the PS2 one again recently. Well, I played 1 and 2.
Although they've always controlled really well.
Yeah, but like, just the visuals as
the
well.
The cel-shaded look.
It already looks like a comic book sort of game. So like, there isn't that much chunk to it. There's chunk, because there's always chunk
chungus.
On the PS2.
Always chunks.
Sly Chungus.
But, oh my god, can we make Sly Chungus, please?
I remember when Sly Cooper first came on, like, became a thing, because it was like, oh man, this whole new graphical style. Cel-shading's not like been in any high-profile games for a while, so it kind of would already give itself its own identity.
Yeah, the only people that really did that recently were Platinum for Transformers Devastation.
Oh, Devastation, which was a good few, a couple of years ago. Okay, so next up, I'm going to throw Fable into the mix, because we can have a nice little reminisce about
Chicken
Fable.
Chicken Chaser!
I thought you were looking, like, apprehensive about it there.
It is me in real life.
I do kind of treat Fable with equal parts apprehension and nostalgic look.
Oh, it's full-on nostalgia.
There were certain elements of Fable that I really, really loved, and then as I was there for Fable 3.
Yep.
For the sadness and disappointment.
I don't know
what statement that ending was. It's like, oh, you shagged either way. And that was literally Fable 3 in a nutshell.
I wonder how much like Molyneux and stuff knew, because Lionhead aren't around anymore. And I wonder how much he knew that was their last one kind of thing. Yeah. Just gonna not so much bow hours fall over, but it wasn't good.
Yeah.
But 1 and 2 though, phenomenal.
And I remember Jules speaking about it the other day, the Fable was
Fable Legends. Was
that
the one
sounded brilliant, the idea of you being able like to be like a sort of dungeon master and plan these things for your friends to take on. I thought that was really cool. And I mean, if they're going to do Fable again, they need to make it. They need to get the nostalgia right. They need to get it, you know, have all the corny dialogue and
well,
the
that's
whole
the thing, because like
Bigamy Simulator 2020 or something.
Well, God, it needs loads of pork in. Like,
it's maximum pork, and you need to have about 7 wives, and you need to be able to equip condoms to make sure you don't have any children.
Yeah, and have your celery so you can. Like, it's all good.
One of my favorite things in Fable is that you can just do the can, regardless of how many. You've just massacred half a town. You just sort of do a bit of a dance, and then some guy's like, "He's actually all right," and then it's fine. And so, like, you need that tone. And I don't know if you even get that without the madness that is Peter Molyneux, because as much as that man is a walking lie. He did contribute heavily to Fable's overall vibe, and I always adored that. I mentioned Fable because we actually do know that a new Fable game is coming. It was confirmed by Eurogamer and Kotaku.
It
is apparently already in development. They reckon they've seen it, or seen that it was in development anyway, by Playground Games, who are the Forza Horizon devs. So they've apparently hired to do an open world game, but it'll be their first time on
I
genre.
I can see them doing a complete tonal reboot.
A gritty.
Yeah, well, not maybe gritty, but maybe just kind of like trying to model it on that, like, you know, almost like the Elder Scrolls potentially, and like they try and really go for all in on one of the things that made Fable good but not charming.
Bigamy Simulator.
Bigamy Simulator 2020.
It 100% just needs to be the charming, like, stupid dialogue. Yes. Doing the can-can, doing all the nonsense stuff. Fun fact, the studio that they were hiring for, Leamington Spa. I remember reading that in the rumour thing. That's the fact that it's come to mind.
What do you mean? What
mind.
Do you mean Leamington Spa?
That's where they're doing it, Leamington Spa.
Okay, because our American viewers won't have a clue what you mean.
It's
with
in
that.
Leamington Spa, everyone.
Does Leamington Spa have a big spa?
I think it did at one point.
The odd hitting question.
This is
here,
not. I've not.
Culture.
I've not been to Leamington Spa, nor do I care. But if that can influence a good game, then
it
maybe that's
do.
A cool
it
thing.
If they base it on Leamington Spa, which is a lovely town.
What even is Leamington Spa?
The Leamington Spa Tourist Board got to you.
Really like Leamington Spa. I think it's nice.
It's not to worry you. And what is your next game? And it better not be Leamington Spa.
No.
Leamington Spa Simulator 290.
My next game is Splinter Spa 2020. Yeah. No, it's Splinter Cell. I want. A new Splinter Cell.
If they said that in Leamington Spa, I'm pretty much
in. Okay. but yeah, like, you and me both agree that Splinter Cell Blacklist, like,
is really good.
It got the perfect balance between the kind of more Jason Bourne-y action-oriented nature of Conviction, then also called back to the series roots with like Chaos Theory and Pandora Tomorrow. Yeah. Obviously, the voice actor was a little bit naff. You know, you had 50-year-old Sam Fisher looking like he was going to the gym, and
it was a weird art, like a weird soft reboot kind of thing. they lost Michael Ironside.
But they did continue on from all of that. And I think there were so many good ideas in Blacklist. And it is such a shame that that game didn't perform to the kind of critical response that it ended up getting. Mm-hmm. I think Spies vs. Mercs would work perfectly again if they were to bring it back. You have a perfect story to continue with. Because at the end of the co-op campaign that you play with Briggs, I can't remember.
One of the two.
Tell me in the comments.
Not Kestrel.
You find Kestrel at the end of that. And so you already have the potential to bring a new protagonist back. Because obviously Michael Ironside was sadly ill for a while, but he is back. So
that's the thing. They did a bunch of Splinter Cell DLC for Ghost Recon, and Michael Ironside returned to the character for the first time
that
in a long
time.
That
DLC really annoyed
It was
me.
Bad. The DLC was horrific, but at least Michael Ironside was alive and well and doing the voice. Mm-hmm. And when he was asked on GameSpot's show, hey, are you going to do more Splinter Cell? He just said, well, I can't confirm that, or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, well, that might even means that you can.
Oh, so great. So, he's got a great voice.
Oh, he's like got the most like razor-throated voice
ever. I'm sorry, that's just me doing Christian Bale there.
It's all within the pool of people. Ash's mic continues to fall apart. Just can't believe the news that a new
Splinter Cell. I'm not wearing night vision goggles.
Either way, yes, I mean, it seems like it's long overdue. Splinter Cell used to be one of the biggest selling franchises of the 2000s. Very recognizable, but there's a lot of brand loyalty to that series.
Talking about Rainbow Six Siege as well, because Ubisoft had the perfect model there to not only get a great single player game out of it, you know, reusing the assets of all the other stuff, which they tend to do, but then you also have the games as a service, Siege-esque formula that you could do with Spies vs. Mercs, and people would take it to a competitive street. Ubisoft have been really good at capitalizing on the esports scene as well. So if they were able to cater to both the single player, you know, story driven focus, give Sam Fisher a really good proper send off with Ironside in the role, and then do all that multiplayer stuff, you have a title that would be built to last. And maybe what they're doing, with knowledge of that in mind, is waiting until the next gen, because obviously they don't want to encroach on Siege's success. And, you know, we have the Division 2 coming out as well, which is going to be a games as a service thing too. So maybe those are mitigating factors.
There's a way. What do you guys think of the placement that stealth has overall? Because it used to be this massive thing. It was like Metal Gear, Splinter Cell, Hitman.
It was my favorite thing. It was my gateway into hardcore gaming, because I used to love like just normal stuff.
Hardcore.
But like, you know.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
That was the thing that really challenged me first when I was kind of growing up, and like stealth games used to terrify me when I was like, you get caught and you die? What? But then like as I kind of got older and discovered the stabby stabby chaos theory, it was a revolutionary experience because I just loved how great it was to be able to ghost around and the satisfaction of like, behind you didn't know I was here. And like that was dead fun. And obviously I've always kind of liked the Tom Clancy military fiction literature, and that really lends itself well. So, Metal Gear Solid 5 as well. That was fantastic.
Phantom Pain 2015. Yes. Like, Hitman is the most recommendable thing, but it's not where it used to be. I mean, what do you think of, like, general stealth games?
I like stealth games. I'm not a big fan of military-themed games. I don't know what... I think it's just because my whole, like, thing for fantasy and everything, I like going into a game and it'd be something completely different. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of the military games. Like, I've played a little bit of all of them, had a little dabble and stuff. I love sneaking around. Mm. I love giving a little knife to someone's throat because that's always a good time.
You played Styx?
Styx, I have not.
Styx is like fantasy stealth. He plays a little goblin called Styx, and you just go around just stabbing dudes.
I was going
to be your
suggest
jam.
Thief as well.
Thief as well.
I played Thief. Yeah, I really like Thief.
Okay, so there is a way.
That's a bit more. That's a bit more less like, ooh, I'm in the military and I'm sleeping.
Although that 2014 Commando reboot was like the most like gritty.
I was going to say something as well.
He had water arrows. What?
The stealth games have gotten too easy recently. Mm. And again, we can point back to Batman Arkham as being a really easy stealth game.
You can't not mention Batman.
But I know I can't, like, but everything comes back to Arkham. It's all connected.
You
didn't let me bring on my conspiracy board, Scott, so I've got to, like, you know, just gesticulate.
Not on a pod, maybe for a video, maybe for a live stream, you can walk us through it, Mr. Day. But for the...
play silver!
For the awesome stuff, do you think it's the detective mode, the vision mode, that kind of stuff?
I think there is, again, we kind of had this with the difficulty podcast, which you should go watch because it was really good.
Yes.
We kind of talk about the idea of the balance between empowering a player and making them strive for something. And I think stealth games have suffered the most from that evolution to empowering players. I mean, Naughty Dog got it right with The Last of Us. I thought stealth mechanics there were really good in a linear sense, but no game apart from Hitman and Splinter Cell have really nailed the idea of you have a challenge to get around, and if you want to sneak around and be the sneakiest sneaker in the history of
sneak,
that you've got to really work for it. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Arkham, you're kind of given, you know, you are the world's greatest detective. You have a detective mode that sees through everything. You can just go around, and people have the vision of
tunnel vision.
What? I just heard someone get their head. What?
And then, it's very much like Metal Gear if you just made it like not cone vision, but just like a line.
Yeah.
Vision. Whereas The Last of Us, I mean, they did a lot of stuff with like audio stuff. Like you have that listening mode, and you kind of find your way around that kind of way. I think there is a way to do the return of Splinter Cell and make it the best premier stealth thing on the market, because Metal Gear ain't coming back anytime soon.
No.
So yes, Ash, what would your next game be?
Oh, I had the list. What we've talked about, Sly Raccoon. Next one coming up.
You also had Mass Effect.
Yeah, that's what I was. But spoiled it.
Well, I thought you'd forgot, so I was leaping in.
I was working through it.
Well,
but the next one I actually really want to see more of is Mass Effect. Yes.
Good.
Which I feel slightly controversial saying because of the big flippity flop that was Andromeda.
There was a lot of flippity flops in Andromeda.
More than a flop.
That was like the fish, it tried to flop, but it just remained dead on the
faces
floor.
As well, just the just, twitching well,
let's,
faces.
Let's just forget that Andromeda ever happened. Let's just, it's, a, like it's the Andromeda. Hobbit movies.
I
no, like you don't.
It. I do,
no,
I do. No. Because I feel like I'm so invested in the Mass Effect world and lore and everything that it can't upset me because I'm like, well, I'm happy I get to go back in there and see everything.
That was my thing. And to be completely honest, I thought Andromeda was like a 3-star kind of game. Like, there was enough to pull.
Yeah,
put
it's from. Not terrible. That's no, the thing. People act like it's the worst thing that's ever happened to gaming. It is not.
It's more like what it means. It's more like how much it dropped the ball. And considering the end of 3 was already this big mess, it was like they needed something great. And it just is not that at all. But it does play pretty well in terms of the combat. And there's like, I like the interaction with the different alien races and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I like being in that world. But yeah, the current state of it is that EA have put it on ice as far as they said.
Well, actually, they've.
Well.
They have said that. But then on N7 day, November to last year. November last year for N7 Day, they'd released that video. It was very wholesome. It was like, what does N7 mean to you? It was really lovely.
That's the death of our franchise.
And everyone's wearing all the merchandise that you can buy in the store.
Of course.
But at the end of it, they were like, N7 means coming to work every day and imagining the next great Mass Effect game. Which could be...
We could have covered that.
Well, you could have.
I didn't realize that was a thing.
Well, there we go.
So, you've just taken his job.
There you go.
I mean...
So it's Bye, not. Scott.
You've got to play Shovel Knight now.
I will. It's not confirmation, but it is hint enough that they are still thinking about ways to move on and expand with it. But with Andromeda and with Anthem coming out, and that's going to be a big endeavor for them, because I've said it's the start of their 10-year journey for something Destiny inspired.
I mean, I'll be amazed if Anthem lands well.
6 month journey.
The fact that they already got ahead of it and said, "Hey, by the way, Dragon Age is also coming," kind of proves that they need something so else to draw the tail end of it.
Dragon Age will be really good. Yeah. Anthem just, I feel like it just needs to get out, do its thing, whether it fails or not. I don't know. I've been in your camp with, it's going to fail. But
I think it's going to fail. I think it'll sell well. It's clearly not what they're best at.
I'm ready to see it rise from the ashes and be something unexpected and not a Destiny clone. Please don't be a Destiny clone. But then with Dragon Age coming out, I think there's room for Mass Effect to come. Not this year, but I think it's going to come.
Yeah.
I think it's going to happen. But I would really like to see
The fact that like N7, a letter and a number, is known to the vast majority of gamers proves that like Mass Effect is and should be this massively well-regarded thing. It's just that the last time it was on top of the world was Mass Effect 2, and that was like 2008.
A defining game of a generation. They can get away with having a few flippy flops again, and then like come back with something like mega and absolutely drop their big old
fire,
slam it down,
big old Garrus foot.
Okay, you could have had a Krogan, but you go with Garrus.
Well, he's got like a metal suit on.
Maybe at some point we will do a Mass Effect podcast, because there's clearly a Mass Effect fandom out there I'm been there too. Turians and the Krogans, but clearly there's more to be talked about.
It needs to come out. Needs to.
It does. So my third pick is Burnout. It has been way too long since the arcade racing was a thing at the industry.
I love how you did that. Just it's like.
Way too long. And so like, I mean, look, last year was the Burnout Paradise remaster came out, which I only looked up the sales for this morning, but apparently that topped the UK charts. So that's the only thing EA will care about if they're going to green light a full on Burnout. But if even a remaster could do well, that's usually an industry's way of testing the waters to see if there's interest in a particular property.
I tell you what.
Go on.
Bun Burnout, bring back Crazy Taxi.
No.
Crazy Taxi.
No.
Bring back
Taxi. I almost swear there, but we can't swear on YouTube. No.
He can see one tear.
You have no idea. Did you guys not play Burnout?
No. I played Paradise because it came with the bundle I had on my 360.
Did you not play Burnout 3 Takedown, the best racing game of all in time?
I played Crazy Taxi a lot.
Would
you like to see Crazy Taxi?
Yeah, I would like to see Crazy Taxi.
No one wants to see Crazy Taxi.
I appreciate Burnout. It's weird because I used to love racing games. And
did you though?
I didn't know. I used to love both Forza.
Right.
And then obviously I got a PS4, so I haven't been there for the Forza Renaissance, which is, you know, amazing.
So good.
And so I had a big obsession with Grid and Dirt, which were like the two. They sound really
worse names.
They sound like men's body sprays.
They sound so
like
visceral. It's like
sweat, adrenaline.
Single tear of an ice.
You can use this one bottle to clean everything and de-ice your car. Both Grid and Dirt.
Yes,
I can never look at those the same way ever again. They were both really good, and I loved them. And Codemasters were fantastic, but obviously this is done by
Criterion used to do the old Burnout games. They've been kind of folded into the new Need for Speed stuff.
They've been doing some of the vehicle physics for Battlefront as well. So
because they're part of the EA machine, exactly. So they sort of get like banded around.
No, I just need to find a game that reignites my love for racing.
I tell you the big worry though is that Onrush came out last year, which was Codemasters trying to do an arcade racer, and it's different. They actually did away with laps, and you just race forever until you take enough people out, which is a cool idea.
One guy's been on the track for 60 years.
At least they were trying something new, and it just didn't sell. It was terrible. The game is quite solid, but it was immediately on PlayStation Plus within like 2 months or whatever. So the sales of Burnout Remastered Paradise kind of prove that if you have the right IP alongside arcade racing, it'll sell. And so I think there's a window for a new Burnout to be announced or something later this year. What?
Crazy Taxi.
No one wants Crazy Taxi.
I do.
Yeah.
What game have you got for your third thing? And it better not be Crazy Taxi.
Like a proper horror noise.
Crazy bold bearded guy number 4, and by that I mean Max Payne 4.
I ran through like 3 different.
Yeah, I thought you were just going to insult me. I'll take random bearded man.
Yeah, not because I really, 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 really,
really
like noir games. Yes. I love noir fiction. I love LA noir, which was really good. I would have that would have been my other choice to bring this back, but I didn't want to upset Scott.
Yeah, we're going to talk about good games.
There it is.
Okay to be wrong,
That's why we have you.
You know, and then we had Team Bondi basically go under with their awkwardly titled game that was meant to come out at one point. I'm not going to repeat.
I will.
No, you won't. But then,
what else did I want?
Max Payne 4, I think, would be really, really good. Obviously, Max Payne 3 ended the series. Max Payne 3 ended things on a really, really good note, yes. But I think there is plenty more scope to do with that character, and especially the game mechanics. Again, kind of like what you were saying with Bully before and other stuff, I struggle to think how Max Payne 4 would kind of blend into Rockstar's games as a service model.
Yeah.
Multiplayer for Max Payne 3 was a really weird thing, because if everyone hit bullet time at a certain point, they'd all go into slow motion.
I like the idea of that. I like the idea of being able to do it. I mean, I like love Max Payne 3, even though it's like the black sheep of the franchise kind of thing. And I think that 1 and 2 obviously just phenomenal games. If they did 4, I would rather they give it back to Remedy and rather than Rockstar do it again, because I think that Remedy are in a weird place. Like, Quantum Break didn't sell very well. Control looks solid enough, but it's not the noir thing that they do best.
I kind of agree, but also I do kind of like what Remedy are doing with their 90s sci-fi cheesy TV show phase that they're having. Like, obviously they had Twin Peaks-esque Alan Wake, which I love as well. I'd love to see Alan Wake come back.
Alan Wake should come back, definitely. Or at least have a film that justifies its existence.
Yeah. You know what? Max Payne 4 and Alan Wake.
And Alone in the Dark as well. Just for a film that's good, there's potential for a really good film.
Yeah. I think you thought I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, I did. I thought you were going to back that.
The only experience of Alone in the Dark I have is on the really bad one where you were quick timing through the streets and the car and the city was coming down.
Yeah, that was great.
Stop lying to the people. God.
I think it's now that I realize how bad my taste in games is. You brought up Clone Marines. I thought Alone in the Dark was good. I didn't realize everyone hated it.
You're like me when I grew up and I saw episode 1 with my grandma and loved it. And then you age and you talk to any other human on the planet other than your grandma and they tell you that episode 1's not good.
Your opinions are wrong.
Yeah. I love that Jar Jar, but no, you're not allowed to.
I really like the prequels as well.
Do you though?
I'm agreeing with you that you like them.
I like 1. But even then, watching it back, I like the Darth Maul fight. Yeah, doesn't matter.
Max Payne 4.
Yes.
And Alan Wake, both Remedy classics.
Yes.
Not Alone in the Dark.
And you know what?
Alone on the Shelf.
Alan isn't ready for his wake yet, so they got to bring him back.
Whoa, there it is.
Save us, Ash. You have 1 more.
Yeah. Okay, right. I'm just going to say, I don't know if it's 1 word or 2. Mm. I think it's 1 word.
It's
but
1 word.
With a capital letter in the middle.
Yeah.
To signify,
like GameCube or PlayStation.
Yeah, edgy. To signify that they're 2 separate words. And I'm going to say Time Splitters.
Yeah, yay. Time Splitters is a phenomenal.
Gotta split that, one, right? Time.
I don't actually know. I remember looking into a potential Time Splitters 4 for an article ages ago, and I think there were rumblings that it was going to happen. I don't even know what the state of Free Radical is now.
Yeah, because they were part of LucasArts for a little bit, weren't they? And then they were part of that whole kind of blub, blub, blub.
Just everything fell apart. Yeah. I think the thing is, something like Time Splitters, you just, the mere mention of it immediately makes a certain generation think of Time Splitters 2, like me and Jules, assumedly, or people who are younger who played Future Perfect.
Yeah,
that tends to be the split, yeah. And so, for me, 2 was I remember the original 2, but 2 was the one that was the medium shaking, oh my God, the cutscenes look like Pixar and whatever. It had such a great identity to it. Yeah. And it's if they bring that back, obviously you have modern technology, you can make the general animation even better. It's just give me little monkeys with guns, all right?
Yeah, it would be such a nice little thing to see. I think it would be perfect to see it in the future.
Yes.
Yeah. Who cares about Planet of the Apes when we got Time Splitters? That's all nice.
Well, I mean, there is a Planet of the Apes game, which is surprisingly all right. But
we're not allowed any trash takes.
It's not Evolve, but Planet of the Apes game is a... God,
I'm having an existential crisis about I realise who I am. And
it is fine. We're all allowed to say the things that we like.
Am I so out of touch? No,
the children are wrong.
That's me and everyone. You guys are wrong. You guys are wrong.
Okay, but make that in Photoshop later.
But not to worry. If they did decide to bring back a Time Splitters, I don't know who the developer, Free Radical are available or whatever. I think you'd have to give it to someone who knew exactly what they were doing, a Free Radical.
Yeah.
I don't know what other studio could potentially take it. But just the general iconography and the visual identity of that franchise, there's so much to pick from.
With something like the Borderlands people.
Yes.
I think that sort of style could work really well for it.
Gearbox. Okay.
Sort of like
Gearbox
push behind it, yeah.
Gearbox have apparently got Borderlands 3 as their next thing.
That's been announced unofficially since for like 5 years. Yeah. Yeah, since before I was born, actually. Yeah, like 1996. Yeah.
So, it is way too long.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with them. They should have had that announced ages ago.
Well, there's a whole, it's a whole different thing, but Randy Pitchford's embroiled in a massive lawsuit at the minute, so that's probably delaying things even further.
I saw that the other day.
Yeah, let's not go into that at the minute. But it is a bit of a thing. But yeah, in terms of 2K and Gearbox, it seems like they're focused on attempting to finally do Borderlands 3. And that was meant to be announced at the last E3, the E3 before that. It's always like a dead certain, it never comes. But yeah, I would love to see more Time Splitters personally as well. That franchise was delicious. Either way, let us know what you think down in the comments below if you're following the video version, or you can find us on social media if you're listening to the audio one. This has been the World Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Ewan.
Bye-bye.
And joined by Ash.
Goodbye.
And catch you guys next time.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.